verses 36 through 42, then Jacob became angry. Listen, verses 36 through 42, man, he just lays it out on him. And he just basically tells Laban, you've been ripping me off, you've been changing my wages, and if it wasn't for the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, you'd have already sent me away empty-handed. So don't kid yourself, Laban. I know who the real thief is in this equation, and it's not me. All right? Then Laban replied, the daughters are my daughters, the children are my children, verse 43, and the flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine, but what can I do this day? So come now, let's make a covenant. In verses 45 through 52, Jacob sets up a stone and sets it up as a pillar. Verse 37, Laban calls it Yegar Sahaduta, but Jacob calls it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore it was named Galeed. And Mizpah, for the Lord said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. And then 50 and 52 basically gives the two covenant parameters. One, Jacob is not, the mound is going to stand as a witness that Jacob makes a promise he will take no more wives. All right, he's got four from Laban, that's going to be it. Jacob lives up to that. Number two, it's a witness that neither one will pass by that mound to go do harm to the other. So no matter how mad you get, when you get to that mound, you're like going, oh, can't do it. We're in covenant. That covenant will have future ramifications all the way up to the time of David. All right, we don't have time to go into that, but whenever God shows you something like this, it's there for a reason. There are relationships and reasons that are put there. Verse 32, or chapter 32, fiddlesticks. Can't do it to you. I'm probably going to come back to the first part of this, but let me just tell you that in chapter 32, verses 1 through 23, we'll come back to this next week, because I just want to come to this one last point. Jacob is now leaving. He's got his family. He comes to the Jabbok River, and he has sent messengers ahead to tell Esau, I'm coming. And some the word messengers can either be translated as angels or human messengers, and the answer is which one? And the answer is yes. Because whatever you're doing down here in the flesh, if it's part of God's will, there's another level happening. So it doesn't matter. All right? Revelation chapters 2 and 3, to the angels of the seven churches. Is it to the human messengers or the angelic ones? And the answer is yes. Because God has told us these angels are there. When he gets ready to cross the Jabbok, he takes his family and he divides them into two camps. And again, we're going to come back to this. But the thing that is amazing is he cuts out of the herd of the camels and the donkeys and the goats a gift for Esau. 30 camels. 30 nursing camels, which means they have a colt. Now, the thing that's really interesting that caught my attention is that the sages say that this is a tithe. It is a tithe that Jacob is about to pay to come back into the land. And they make the connection that this tithe of these animals, that this livestock, and just think about it, if Jacob has 30 nursing camels, how many camels does he have? I'm telling you, I've seen like 20 or 25 camels in a herd in Israel, and 300 camels is a lot of camel. They're huge, ugly, and lovable, and my wife swerves off the road to make me go look at them. But we would actually have a camel in our backyard if it was up to her. If this is a tithe and he gives just 200 she-goats, that's not even counting the male goats, just the she-goats, how many she-goats does he have? 2,000. Jacob is unbelievably wealthy. Do you remember the vow that he made to God? God says, or Jacob says, I'm going to bring you a tithe. What's really cool about this is that if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 5 through 10, and I'll remind you about this again next week because we're going to wrap up. You guys can go ahead and come up and get ready.